This afternoon, I'm in an extraordinary place. I'm very near Sherwood Forest in Nottingham, and I've come across the Bramley Apple Festival. Did you know that the Bramley Apple came from this village, town, sorry? Is it? Hello, and I'm here with Susanna Starkey of the Starkey family, who grow Bramley apples. Congratulations. How are you? Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you very much. We are celebrating our, 25th Bramley Apple Festival as a Bramley apple grower, but my family been growing Bramleys since 1901.
What's so special about the Bramley?
Okay, so if you know your horticulture, the edible apple has to come from a grafted rootstock. It does not grow from a pip, but they started doing so over the centuries. Every now and again, one in a gazillion would grow, and then someone clever come along and sort of like cultivate that one. But in 1809, a little girl called Mary Ann Brailsford planted her pip of a random apple in the ground, and it grew into this tree, which produced big, fat, delicious apples that had a little bit of a rosy glow on them, and they were then later on marketed as Bramleys by the Merriweather family. But the quality of these Bramleys was that they cooked incredibly well. They are our most famous cooking apple because they collapse down, they fluff up, collapse down, but they keep their flavour, and they're incredibly versatile apples. So moving the story along a bit, my great-great-grandfather planted his orchards in 1901 when he moved here to Nord Park, and then that was all fine and great, doing well, and he was a gentleman farmer, fine. But then my father's father carried on, and then my father 20 years ago arranged, sort of got in touch with the owner and the University of Nottingham, who were doing some cloning of genetic materials to preserve the DNA of special things like trees and tomatoes and what have you, and they did the Bramley apple tree, which, although it's still alive now, is very sick. So it's 211 years old.
I just went to see it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, went to the pub and I sneaked illegally into a back garden. And the apples are a lot redder because the Bramley apple I think of as bright green.
Right,
so why are they red?
Yeah, well, the Bramley apples that you think of as green have been mutated over 200 and so years. They've just mutated. That's evolution. But the original one was red, reddish.
Yeah.
And
a red blush.
Yeah, exactly. And sweeter. And when we cloned our tree 20 years ago, which then created the first and only ever orchard of commercial Bramleys since the original tree, thank you for saying congratulations, because that's what you were congratulating me for, I know it! And we found that the fruit was the same as the original tree, as the original fruit, which
so
is why we're excited.
A little bit sweeter.
No need for added sugar. Deal with the obesity crisis.
Now, the great thing about it is you've now started a drinks company, haven't you?
We did. Well, we had a lot of class to... see, what happens is that the British apple market suffers here and there from time to time with European and foreign imports. That's absolutely fine. We've all got to do trade with each other.
Oh, luckily, you won't have that as much.
No, we are quite pleased, actually, about the... are hoping
you'll
that we'll focus.
You'll be only happy Brexiteer.
Yeah. let's see. And we will...
Reclaim the apples.
Exactly.
Because I must say, I only really like eating
British
apples.
British in season, it is the point. Yeah. I mean, you know, you still want bananas out of season. That's another whole story.
Yeah.
Where was I? I was telling you about the juice.
Yeah.
So, class twos.
What's the name of the company?
The Extraordinary John Starkey, which is my great-great-grandfather starting it, the company, farm. And then my father, who's also called John, for... doing this
I've got
discovery.
A juice here.
Hang on, I've got to tell you about the point about the extraordinary graft. Is that when my father realised that his clones produced amazing fruit, he then planted the rest of the baby apples onto their own rootstock, which he found very unusual and very unheard of, and it's cool. And you asked me about the juice business. We crushed the apples into juice to basically add value to it, because we haven't yet found, the story hasn't yet got out that Nottinghamshire Bramleys are better than everyone else's. We just weren't selling enough of our own. So we pressed it, made it into juice. The juice is going really well.
And I've got some juice here and I'm going to try it. I'm going to have a sip and then you can tell me while I'm drinking it what it is.
Okay, so that's plain bare naked Bramley, and you'll find that it's a lot less tart than what you should if you were to buy Bramley apple juice somewhere else. We're actually having a scientific experiment with the University of Nottingham, who are doing a test at the moment to see whether there is actual scientific proof. But you're drinking Bramley apple juice, which is very nice. It's a breakfast juice, so you can mix it with soda, lemonade for the kids, or how about this? Prosecco.
You know, it's got a lemony twang, actually.
A lemony twang?
Yeah.
Right, a twang. Well, Simon May off the BBC Radio 2 foodie programme says delightfully zingy.
I'm getting zinged up here.
And A.A. Gill said it was transformative. He drank it every single day.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Until unfortunately something else bigger. Yeah. Well, it was the last thing he ever had, which is not to be laughed at, but he was delighted to promote my apple juice. Okay. Both with gin and tonic as well.
So we're here today in Southall, is that how you pronounce it?
I do, but it's not wrong to say Southall.
And that's in Nottingham. And
sure.
Nottinghamshire.
Yeah.
And we are celebrating the Bramley. Tell me about the event.
Well, it's the most amazing event because the focus of it is this beautiful cathedral or minster, classically a minster, which is a Norman minster. It was this stop off for the Archbishops of York as they went up and down the countryside. And we open it up. There's all sorts of Bramley tastings and competitions and activities for children. And
this place is packed.
I know. It's almost as packed as when I was got married here.
Well, what's brilliant about it, Susanna, is this is a church being used for something else,
yep.
A celebration of something local.
Yep.
It's crammed in the people. They've raised money for the church, and yep. It's making the church alive.
Yeah, yep, I know.
This is what church should happen
absolutely.
In churches.
I agree. Absolutely. They have great exhibitions all through the year here. It's not one of those precious churches. You know, it's not precious. You can have a disco dance here if you really wanted.
There's also cooking demonstrations yep. at the other end.
Yeah, and they've got my compote there, which is cooked down. It's a posh word for applesauce. Compote is yummy. It's incredibly good on your porridge in the morning. Gets all your fibre in there. No sugar. Don't need any sugar. And they say that it's, well, you know, apple day. The Europeans have applesauce every single day with their breakfast. And I like cooking with applesauce. Mix it with the mackerel to make a sort of nice
winter pate. Birch and muesli, you grate apple into it.
Yeah, exactly,
you?
Yeah, exactly.
Very good.
Apple is the most versatile thing apart from an egg.
It stops cancer, doesn't it?
I can't claim that.
No. Okay, so you are quite scientific. So I want to talk about, because we're Radio Gorgeous, about a woman being in the business.
Oh.
Tell us about that.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I never have been, you know, in such a sort of... I was baptised by fire. I was brought up here by my dad to sort of get involved in the sort of person to like this festival. Actually, the first time I came to do business of the apple juice business was here with dad in the minster.
How old were you?
Oh, this is 5 years ago. Yeah. But I was doing other businesses. I've run three other businesses in the past, but this was something different because this was a farm. This is not just me being a self-employed party planner or wedding florist or a chef. This was, you know, with 80 employees, you know, hundreds of years of history, and a very serious concern. But I was asked to come up and promote the juice with dad, and I saw the passion, and I got the passion myself. Anyway, I found business as massive. This business is a particularly big learning curve. I've got my father, who's a fantastic teacher. I find experts where I need them. I'm not able to do something. I say I'm admitting it, but. I think I'm a natural entrepreneur. I love it, absolutely love it. You've got to love what you do, haven't you?
Are you developing new ideas all the time?
Yes. I mean, ideas are actually quite cheap, meaning you can have ideas, but to make them into a business, to make them make money, that's another whole ballgame. But the ideas are apple, and I've done them, I prototyped them, apple crisps, apple cider vinegar, actually that's here now, apple leather, which is sugar-free sweeties for children, like those long, strippy things.
Yeah.
Apple crisp, apple cider we've got here already. Apple
very
cider
good price
vinegar.
As well. £10 for 10 litres.
Yeah, introductory price.
Yeah.
Compote, the apple sauce. I want to bring back with a vengeance, and I'm having to outsource because you see, a businesswoman.
What do you mean outsource?
Well, you see,
to make it.
As a businesswoman, you'd have to make the decision: is this making money? Right? Is it making money? Is the cost too high compared to what I can get for it? And the apple sauce in the past has not worked in that respect. Yummy, popular, doesn't work as a business. So I've outsourced it, meaning I found someone to make it for cheaper, and I will sell it for more.
Yeah.
And I will make a business.
And so that's your apples, but they're, and your design, yeah, and your salesmanship,
and
but they're actually going to make it. They've got a factory, haven't
Exactly. Yeah. I found a nice guy called Tom at the sauce shop. He makes sauces and he puts them in other jars. I'll give him my jars and I'll give him my branded label. He'll do the work. I'll pay him whatever he wants me to pay him for. It's with a negotiated
and
price.
And most like Coleman's applesauce or Sainsbury's applesauce, are they always using Bramley's then, applesauce?
Yeah, but probably from Kent.
Oh.
And do you know what's so really upsetting is that the EU thing, this is another Brexit bitch up, is that the EU 2 years ago, 3 years ago, before Brexit referendum, made a law where if you can only call it Bramley apple pie filling if you have put lemon juice, corn flour and water and sugar in the recipe. I mean, hello, you're just telling someone to make it revolting.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and buck that system as soon as we've gone solo from Brexit, if and when that happens, if we haven't all fallen off the cliff, I'm going to kick a bit of a stink up and I'm going to get back the recipe. It does not have to have lemon juice and sugar in it. No, it does not.
I found that I get upset now when I go to supermarkets because they only have Galas, Braeburns, Sweet Lady. And as I say, being a passionate apple lover, is the horizon looking better for us, for English apples?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is, thanks to certain big players in the big players. We've got clever marketing people, and they know that they're going to have to attract the British growers back. Yeah, so I've been approached to make a new variety, but I grow Cox's Orange Pippin.
My favourite.
I've got Cox's Orange Pippin here. And it won't be long. I mean, the thing is, though, you have to balance it with what their tastes are. People's tastes have changed
over the
years.
They've gone sweet.
Well, you know, a 100 years ago, you had suet pudding, you know.
Yeah.
You didn't have...
That's a couple of decades ago, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Our tastes do change. Yeah. And the mummies who go to the shops with their children, they go for Pink Ladies. It's a cute little marketing, nice branding. They taste nice, a bit bland.
Yeah.
Then you've got the older-fashioned people who like the more interesting taste of a Cox, of Cox's Orange Pippin. You know, we are... You know, what girl doesn't love a Cox?
Okay, so what's your next move, then? Business wise,
I'm taking it one day at a time, but on my horizon,
what's your vision?
Line. My branded apples to go into Tesco countrywide, they're going in next week to the East Midlands and London specialist people, you know, people who
and what should people look out for?
Well, the branded apple man, the Bramley apple man. This is a Edwardian gentleman with an apple head.
Okay.
And that's in London and the East Midlands. And my vision is to have every supermarket know that the Starkey Bramley from Southall is the one to go for, frankly. The one to go for. If you want your big sour Bramley, fine. But if you want a really particularly good version of a Bramley, then Starkey Bramley is the way to go.
Thank you so much. And the details of your website, please?
Is johnstarkey.co.
And how do you spell Starkey?
That's John, J-O-H-N, StarkeyCo.
And how much do you love apples, Susanna?
Apples are my life. Apples, I am an apple, basically. Yes.
She's wearing a fabulous green top today with a green bob in her hair. And it's fantastic to meet you and coming on to Radio Gorgeous. I really appreciate you giving up time from your stall and your business to talk to us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Radio Gorgeous.
Happy Bramley Festival.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.